This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. It is the 4th of November, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Joining me, Eric Pfeiffer and Sabrina Halverson with Hat News today, including an anhydrous discussion on the new Purdue Crop Chat podcast that we will preview, and checking out solar-powered irrigation. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Visit them for more, ffbt.com. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is here with an update on the forecast after some rain moved in yesterday. And on Friday, mixed ag markets. We have market analysis with Brian Basting on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Equal opportunity lender. Member FDIC.
Get profit-boosting knowledge from no-till experts, innovators, legends, and your fellow farmers at the 33rd Annual National No-Tillage Conference in Louisville, January 7th through 10th. The National No-Tillage Conference provides the practical tips and information farmers need to run a more successful and profitable no-till operation. This conference offers a mix of thought-provoking general sessions, collaborative no-till roundtables, and expert-led no-till classrooms with the likes of corn yield record holder Russell Hedrick, world-renowned soil biologist Jill Clapperton, 2024 Conservation Ag Operator Fellow and no-till legend Ray McCormick, and many more. Plus, pesticide recertification and certified crop advisor credits will be available to qualifying attendees. Register using promo code RADIO and save 10%. Learn more and register at notillconference.com. That's notillconference.com.
Is a fall anhydrous application really the best idea? And research on a new solar-powered irrigation system. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. With harvest complete or nearly complete, there's still plenty of time to get some fall field work taken care of.
I don't like fall anhydrous. We don't recommend fall anhydrous.
Geez, tell us how you really feel, Dan. That's Purdue Extension's Dan Corn Quinn, and he does, in fact, tell us how he really feels in the Purdue Crop Chat podcast, available now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Nitrogen is so environmentally driven, and even something like anhydrous that is the most stable form of nitrogen, and you can get away with it in a lot of years where you have the right certain moisture conditions, really the soil temperature is cooling, and you can get away with it, but it just sits out there, right? And you're exposing it to a long period of time with environmental conditions. And we see the environment, right? It warms up and it cools off and it warms up and, you know, you're just leaving it out there to get lost.
He was particularly concerned when he was driving around the state and saw some anhydrous going on last week.
It was dry as can be. It was 83 degrees out. So I understand why certain farmers do it from a logistics standpoint, and you're getting it out there, you're getting your nitrogen there, you're having it for next year. But man, you just think about how dry it is, you know, how much, you know, all those slots closing, how much are we losing? You know, the soil temps are not, you know, 50 degrees and decreasing, right? So how much are we going to end up losing if we do end up getting a lot of moisture and rainfall?
While Quinn doesn't recommend a fall anhydrous application at all, as you just heard, he certainly doesn't recommend it for any farm south of Indianapolis. Hear more from Quinn and Purdue Extension's soybean Sean Castile in the Purdue Crop Chat podcast, available now in the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. Just search Hoosier Ag Today in your app store.
From the farm bill to foreign farmland ownership and international trade, ag policy is having a big impact on Indiana farming operations. The Hoosier Ag Today Indiana Ag Policy Podcast provides in-depth coverage on these and many other important and complex issues. Get the details behind the headlines with the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, hosted by Eric Pfeiffer. You can find it at HoosierAgToday.com, the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Reducing energy costs and improving water management for farmers are the goals of a new solar-powered irrigation system. Sabrina Halverson reports how researchers at Purdue and Michigan State are working together to make it happen.
Youngsik Dong, assistant professor and extension specialist at Michigan State University, is leading the project, which addresses energy challenges commonly faced in rural agriculture.
Could we utilize some of the solar energy to address the self-starting reactive power compensation and the peak shaving? And that's one of the reasons we trying to, how can we help, how can we provide some technology that can be used by the farmers to improve their energy, their electric systems in rural communities?
The system aims to stabilize power by reducing peak demand and offers more reliable energy alternatives through solar power. Pilot tests will be conducted in both Michigan and Indiana with the goal of creating tools adaptable to farms of all sizes.
One of the objectives on this project is to come up with a decision support tool that can help to appropriately design the solar microinverter system for size-specific condition. We will take a look at different sizing for different size of farm and the pumps and what their needs. So that's one of the scope of the project.
If successful, the technology could not only cut energy costs, but also support sustainable water use, providing both environmental and economic benefits to farmers. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
More farm news anytime at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Let's face it, operating a farm isn't going to get any less expensive this year. That's why an operating loan from Farm Credit MidAmerica is built to give you more cash back and more flexibility in how you are able to manage your funds. Learn more at fcma.com/operating and get an operating loan that pays you back. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit MidAmerica is an equal opportunity lender.
Good things come to those who wait, but what if you don't want to wait? What if you want to pay for next year's seed order now? Well, you're in luck, because if you pay for your order from Seed Genetics Direct before November 10th, they'll take 11% off, and you can pay your way with cash, check, or credit card. Just make that payment by November 10th, and they'll take 11% off. So much for waiting around for good to happen. Visit SeedGeneticsDirect.com. Value, knowledge, performance. It's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a damp start to this week. Moisture coming in from the west. I think we see hit and miss as showers and maybe even a few thunderstorms trying to work across the Hoosier State today and tomorrow. We are looking at the biggest rains, though, staying west of the state. I think the biggest rains fall out over parts of Iowa, Missouri, and Illinois, so the moisture here, relatively minor. I'm still going to pencil in over the next 2 days anywhere from a quarter to 1 inch of moisture. The better chance at the upper end of the range is going to be in central and southern Indiana, where there's a slightly better chance for better thunderstorm activity. Once we get into Wednesday morning, as northern and central Indiana are clearing out, we do see clouds holding a little bit longer in southern Indiana, even a few showers for Wednesday midday. And then we clear out everywhere. Partly to mostly sunny skies in here to finish the week for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as high pressure dominates the Great Lakes and the Eastern Corn Belt. Now we get into Sunday late afternoon, evening. We have a little bit of moisture that wants to try and work in here. Hit and miss as scattered showers. I think we're looking at a quarter to maybe 3/4 of an inch tops, about 75% coverage for late Sunday into Monday. And then we're back to dry weather for Tuesday. Getting into Wednesday, maybe have to watch for another hit and miss round of shower action coming up from the southwest of the United States, the central and southern plains especially. So that may be another round of moisture here for midweek next week. We'll keep our eyes on that. All the way through, though, temperatures remain above normal. Still don't see any significant frost or freeze coming through. If you escaped a freeze conditions or a killing frost over the weekend as skies cleared out, I think that we're going to be looking at pushing that back until closer to midweek next week, or at least the second half of next week. We do see colder air diving southward across the northern Rockies, northern plains, and upper Midwest. But we'll have to see if it can actually make it all the way into our neck of the woods. It's crazy how far out we're pushing this end of the growing season. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
A promising start and a mixed close. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. All the numbers from how we ended the week coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. And for that, I turned in the middle of trade to Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. Brian, a good start to the month of November as corn, beans, and wheat all went higher. Then the middle of the session came,
and the markets turned and went the other way. Let's start with the start of the day, where everything was positive, and certainly in the grains and oil seeds, continued flash sales is a big plus.
That's true. Thanks for having me, as always, Andy. We had some flash sales, as you said here, 9 a.m. Eastern time, sales of strong business, old crop corn to Mexico. Mexico continues to be a strong buyer of U.S. corn. We also had some sales to China of old crop beans and sales of unknown destinations, old crop beans. We also had a sale of soybean oil, Andy, today. So, yes, that was enough to give the market a spark here to open things up on Friday. As the session wore on, my hunch is just a little bit of profit taking here at the end of the week. Looking at a lot of uncertainty, needless to say, as your listeners know, upcoming here, the election on Tuesday, a lot of uncertainty about what's going on overseas in the Middle East and obviously the Black Sea, all those geopolitical things. Just uncertainty is a key word. And one other thing I'd add, Andy, we're at the very tail end of harvest, and perhaps there may be a little bit of cleanup sales taking place here on a rally like that. Maybe some orders in there. That'd be a minor factor, but we're probably down to the last 10% on beans nationwide, and we're probably down to the last 15% of corn nationwide. There is some lot of rain coming in this weekend, early next week. As your listeners have probably heard, that'll probably stall that last bit of harvest. So maybe seeing some movement ahead of that too. But maybe just, I'd say, end of the week, uncertainty, risk off, whatever phrase you want to use. Ahead of a big 4 or 5 days coming up here, especially on Tuesday with the election. So, but I'd say underpinning that initially was definitely that export business you spoke of a moment ago.
You mentioned weather. Let's talk about South American weather, what's happening there, and what impact that may have on U.S. markets, if any.
Yeah, South American weather specifically, Andy, in Brazil has changed. It has been quite dry. Of course, they go through a dry season from May through August, middle of September. This year's was extended, though, and that slowed the start of their soybean planting. However, the last 2 weeks, and I would say stretch that into 3 weeks, they've started to get regular rains, and that has really ramped up the soybean planting, particularly in that number one state in the north, which is Mato Grosso. They have really stepped up the soybean planting there. So what had been a mildly supportive factor, if your listeners think back here maybe 30 days ago, the market was having a rebound. There's a little bit of weather premium maybe being built into that. That has disappeared because now with the planting pretty much on pace, maybe a little bit behind, but nothing dramatic, that they definitely still have full potential for their 2024-25 crop that they're planting now. And by full potential, I'd remind your listeners, Andy, that a lot of people are saying maybe a crop this year pushing 170 million tons. And just to put that in perspective, we always talk about million tons. That's over 4.6 billion bushels. And that would be a record by far. This year, the crop is about 150 million tons. So that's 10, 15% increase potentially there. So there might be another thing that's weighing on the bean market here as we see the November contract. Hanging there about 975, 980 a bushel, but it had been around 1050 to 1060. Just a few weeks ago. So, but South America will take front and center now. Andy, I'd remind your listeners, the rough equivalent of November, December, January is June, July, and August. And we all know how important that June, July, August time period is in the Midwest for your corn and beans. And that's at least for the first crop corn. I'd remind your listeners, Andy, that the first crop corn, about 25 to 30% of the Brazilian corn, and the safrinha crop is the crop that's corn crop that's planted in February primarily, but into March, and that's planted after the soybean harvest. But all the beans in Brazil will be here, key period, pod set, pod fill, November, December, January, whereas the first crop corn is about half planted now. That will go through pollination here in December and into January, and then they'll plant that double crop corn after the bean harvest. But South American weather is going to be front and center before we know it.
Market commentary from economist Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. The number there is 309-664-2314. Now the Friday settlements. December corn gains up 3 3/4, 4.14 1/2. March ends at 4.29 1/4, up 3 1/4. And May up almost 3 cents, 4.37 1/4. January beans, 9.93 3/4, down 3/4. March down 1 1/4 at 10.08 1/4. And slightly lower in the wheat market as well. December 5.68, 2.5 cents off. December live cattle, 185.92, down 37 cents. And 27 cents higher for December lean hogs, 84.07. I'm Ian Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.